It's good to see each and every one back in, and we're certainly thankful that the doors are open once again and we're able to gather in God's house, and we're able to gather even here to worship Him and to praise His name. We do extend a word of welcome as well to those that are visiting and also to our online audience, and we do pray that those that are watching in, wherever you are, that you will know the blessing and you will know the help of the Lord even with you today. The announcements are a bit lengthy this morning, but we'll endeavour to get through them as quickly as possible. Do remember this is the second Sunday of the month, and it is Building Fund Sunday. And if you have any gifts towards the work of the church here in terms of the material aspect of the work, then we do encourage you to bring those gifts in throughout today. The evening service at 7 p.m. will be here in the church once again, and there will be the time of prayer from 6:30 until 6:50 here in the main hall. And if you can gather with us, we certainly do encourage that, and we do extend to each one a warm welcome to come back again this evening. As we mentioned throughout today, a number of our young people will be taking part in both the morning and the evening service. Unfortunately, it's greatly restricted in relation to what we were able to do last year, and we can't have all of the young people gathered together at the front, but throughout both this morning, this evening, and again next Sunday, there will be a number of our young people will be taking part in various ways. So we do extend a word of welcome to come back again this evening, even for our evening service. Tomorrow night is our final children's meeting of the year online at 7:15, both on our YouTube and on our Facebook pages. And we do commend that children's meeting to you once again for your prayers, and even to support it by informing others and even sharing and letting others know of that children's meeting at 7:15 tomorrow evening. Wednesday night there is a deputation meeting here in the church on behalf of Trinitarian Bible Society. The Reverend Craig Dennison, a member of our presbytery, who was formerly the minister in our Gardenstown congregation in Scotland, is representing Trinitarian Bible Society, and he'll be here on Wednesday night on their behalf to present that work to us. And there will be a return offering immediately after that meeting. Friday night is the final youth fellowship of the year as well, at 8 p.m. and we do extend a warm welcome once again to all of our young people to come along to that service on Friday evening. We're thankful that last Friday we were able to meet with them here in the church again, and it was lovely to see them back in, and we do warmly invite them to come again this Friday evening. Next Sunday is our Christmas Sunday services, and the children of our Sabbath school will be taking part both morning and evening. And again, we do remind you of that special service. We always look forward to the children of our congregation taking part in our services. And this year it's had to be recorded, and then it will be shown up on the wall next Sunday to save all of the children from having to come together at the front of the room. And they were recording that this morning, and then the two in Peter's class will be reading to us next Sunday as well from the lectern here at the front. And we are looking forward to the children as they come to take part in the services next week. I'll be speaking at both services, bringing a children's message in relation to the Christmas time. And just finally, our final mention for the book, 100 Days of Lockdown. As we mentioned on Wednesday night in the prayer meeting broadcast, we are oversubscribed already. And if anyone would like one of those books, then please do let me know before tomorrow lunchtime so that we can finalise the numbers and getting the extra books down so that they're here, God willing, before Christmas, in case that's what they're needed for. So do, if you would like one, priced at £10, do get in touch with me, as I say, before tomorrow lunchtime, please. There was literature in all of your seats as you come in today. There was the latest Let the Bible Speak magazine, the calendar from the Missionary Council for 2021. Those that ordered the calendars from Let the Bible Speak, they should be in your seats as well. And please take all of those things with you as you leave, and even read the magazine from Let the Bible Speak. Can I also take this opportunity to thank over these last number of weeks, each one, for your prayers in relation to the broadcast. We do appreciate God's people praying for us, and we are also wanting to put on record our thanks to our media and sound team who came and was involved in all of the work there, making sure that they went out seamless with all of the different videos coming in and all of the broadcasting. We do thank them sincerely for their efforts and their work it's nice to have everyone back, because whoever was on the sound desk, I preached at them and preached at them only. And maybe it was getting a bit more uncomfortable for them because there was no one else to look at but them and the camera. But as I say, we do want to thank them for their efforts, and it is lovely to see even so many in today. Can I just mention, there has been a change. Yesterday morning there was a presbytery meeting online again, with the opening of our congregations, and as well as the measures that we have in place already, they have adopted the mandatory guideline that came in from the government in relation to face coverings being worn for the entire service. So from you're coming into the building and leaving the building, and also during the service, we are asking if you could wear a face covering, encouraging that at this time. We are endeavouring to keep singing a couple of hymns, and as you all know, there are exemptions to wearing the face covering if that applies to you, and there are various face coverings. If the mask is too restrictive, there are other ways of covering your face, and if we could ask you at this time just to be wearing those during the entire service, please. One final thing, can we just mention, as I'm sure you've noticed, there is a new hymn board on the wall, and we want to thank those that donated that hymn board to the congregation, to the church here. And we do trust and pray that it is a help, even in preparation, preparing yourself for worship, that maybe if you don't hear the number being called out, that you can see it clearly in the wall, so that we're all ready each time as we sing together. But as I say, we do want to thank those that donated it. It is dedicated in memory of James and Enid Mitchell, past members of our congregation here. We do, as we say, just pray that it will be even a use to us in our worship in the days that lie ahead. So that brings the announcements to an end this morning. We're going to hand over to your brother Stephen at this time. He's going to lead the service this morning. We pray that the Lord will bless each of the young people that are taking part throughout this day. Thank you, Stephen.
We're going to open our worship this morning with hymn 633. Just check it's the same on the board too. 633. There shall be showers of blessing, there is a promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Saviour above. And let us remain seated as we sing.
Savior,
ask now if you'd stand with me as we open our meeting in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to meet together. Lord, we thank you for the lifting of the restrictions. Lord, we value the opportunity, Lord, to meet publicly and worship you. Lord, to take our stand for you, to show the world, Lord, that we are willing to meet together, Lord, that we are Christ's people, and we want to meet publicly to worship you. Lord, we thank you for each one that is gathered. Lord, we pray that you would continue to keep us safe, Lord. We pray that even the new restrictions, Lord, would help us in some way, Lord, to keep our churches open. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for keeping the virus, Lord, away so far. Lord, we pray that you would continue to do that. Lord, we pray even, Lord, as we move forward through the months and into the new year, Lord, that you would rid the virus from our land, Lord, that you would take it away. Lord, that you would make our people safe again. Lord, we long for the days, Lord, of our church building to be full. Lord, even that close fellowship together as Christians, Lord, we pray and long for those days, Lord. Even when we can sing, Lord, to the top of our voice, Lord, and raise our praise for you, Lord. Lord, we thank you even for the means over the last few weeks of bringing the service even to those in their homes, Lord. We thank you for the technology, Lord. We thank you for the ability to do that. Lord, that even the people of this congregation, the people of this community, Lord, weren't left with nothing. Lord, we thank you for those messages that did go out. Lord, we thank you for all those that took part, those, Lord, that did their part. Lord, we thank you, Lord, even for the other means throughout our denomination, Lord, the drive-in services and things. And Lord, we remember the congregations, Lord, that still can't meet in their buildings. Lord, we pray that you would be with them. Lord, where one or two are gathered together, Lord, we pray that you would be there also. Lord, we thank you, Lord, even for the means to meet together, Lord. Lord, we pray for our meeting today, Lord. We pray that you would be with each one that would take part. Lord, we pray for our youth, Lord, as a whole. Lord, we pray that each young person that would meet together in this church, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen them. We pray, Lord, that even throughout the week, Lord, that they would be a beacon for you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that as they go out into the community, Lord, into schools and universities or work or whatever it would be, Lord, we pray that they would be a witness. Lord, we pray that even others would just see by the way they live, the way they speak, Lord, by the actions that they do, Lord, that they're different, Lord, that they're saved by your grace. Lord, that even that would be a witness. Lord, we pray as each one would take part. We thank you, Lord, for the preparations even that have gone in before, for each one, Lord, as they've practiced. Lord, we pray the same for our children, Lord. We thank you for the means that they can bring the service this year, Lord, even though it be different. Lord, we thank you for the videos that have already been made, Lord. And we pray for those that would still to take part. Lord, even next week, we pray for our children's meeting as a whole, Lord, and our Sunday school. We pray those that would pray for those, Lord, that would labour in that weekly as well, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them, that they would guide them. Lord, we pray for our presbytery at this time. Lord, these are difficult times to lead a church, Lord, difficult decisions to make, and maybe some that aren't always popular. Lord, we pray for unity in our church. Lord, we pray that each one would fall under the guidance of presbytery, Lord. We pray for a special coming together, Lord, of everyone that would guide our church. Lord, we pray that you would give them wisdom. Pray that you would lead them, Lord, even throughout the world, Lord. This pandemic's not restricted to us. Lord, we pray for a church in North America. We pray for all those missionaries across the world that have been affected as well. Lord, we pray you be with them. Lord, we pray even for their financial need. Lord, we know that has been affected in this time. We pray that you'd be with them. Pray that you'd support them, guide them, Lord, in these troubling times. And Lord, we pray that your word would not be hindered, Lord, that your gospel will still go forth. We thank you, Lord, that you're still on the throne. And Lord, nothing will stop you. Your word will go forward. Your people will meet. And Lord, we pray that in whatever means that be, Lord, that we can still meet together, whether virtually or in person, and Lord, your gospel will not be hindered. Lord, we pray again for the meeting today. Pray that you be with each one, and be with us and guide us today. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask our sister Rhoda Fleming to come forward and read a poem for us. Thanks, Rhoda.
He had me in mind. He came from the realms of glory. He was born in the fullness of time. He brought to the world the first Christmas because he had me in mind. The angels did herald the tidings, good news for fallen mankind. Unto you, not to us, is a Saviour, because he had me in mind. His birth was foretold in the scriptures, the sceptre of true royal line, God's love gift commanded to sinners, because he had me in mind. His life on this earth was so busy, he was loving and gentle and kind, set his face as a flint to Jerusalem, because he had me in mind. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, bore the guilt that should have been mine, paid the debt and purchased our pardon, because he had me in mind. Rejected, despised and forsaken, satisfied heaven's justice divine, oh how can I help but adore him, that he ever had me in mind. So now in the glory exalted, almighty, all worthy, sublime, ever living to make intercession, because he has me in mind. Then throughout the ages eternal, forever with him I shall shine, and praise him with numberless millions, that he ever had me in mind.
Thank you, Rhoda. It's encouraging to hear, even in these difficult times of pandemic, that the Lord still has us in mind, and he knows every hair in our head, and even the billions of people in the world, that the Lord still knows us and remembers us. We're going to join together in our next hymn. It's hymn 525. Again, we'll just remain seated. Our service for God has been barren and dry, and barren it shall remain, until we are blessed with the fire from on high and the sign of abundance of rain.
Of God that our Savior.
We'd ask Jessica Cuthbertson now to come forward and bring the reading to us, and then immediately after, the Reverend Ormerod will bring the preaching of the word.
First Kings chapter 18, verses 41 to 45. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, and there is a sound, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up again unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, and let the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel.
I want to thank our young people who have taken part this morning, and certainly has been a blessing to our hearts already. And for those that are will be coming to take part again this evening, we're certainly looking forward to that as well. I admit it, just to mention that over the next number of weeks, with different ones taking part, whenever as you come, those that are taking part, as you come to the front, you are allowed to remove the mask as you speak, and then putting it back on again for going and sitting in your seat. But those that are taking part at the mic, or for myself even preaching, the mask does not have to be worn at that time. As we mentioned, we're going to be spending the entire day on the topic of prayer. This morning, those verses that Jessica's read to us, we're going to be looking now at the fervency in prayer and the fervency of Elijah. And then tonight, in the book of Acts, we'll be coming to chapter 12, and we'll be looking at the power of prayer when we consider Peter being arrested and the prayer that was made for him by the church at that time. And it was my intention to do all of this part this morning, but it came whenever I was in the study. It's going to end up being 2 weeks, or else you'll be here till this evening's time, because there's a lot even in these remaining verses, and we'll be coming again to it at the start or next year. It'll be now, because this is the final day in our two series for this year. Next Sunday, with the children taking part and the Christmas messages to the children in particular, the final Sunday of the year, and the morning time, we'll be speaking on Simeon meeting with the Lord, whenever Mary and Joseph took the child Jesus to the temple, following after the tradition of the law at that time, and there they met Simeon. We'll be looking at Simeon the final Sunday of the year in the morning, and in the evening time is our prayers service for 2020. And we'll be bringing a message in relation to that. The first Sunday then of January, we'll be bringing our motto text, God willing. And then in the evening time, there is a special testimony. That was planned for the first Sunday in December. December, we always try to make like a special month when there are special meetings throughout the month, every Sunday in December. But with the church being shut down, we had to cancel that testimony at that time. And as I say, God willing, then the testimony will be taking place the first Sunday evening in January. So just to bring those meetings to you, and to even pray over them, and to let others know as those meetings come to pass. But just before we come to consider God's word this morning, we're going to stand for prayer once again as we look to the Lord for his help in the preaching of his word this morning. Father in heaven, we bow before thee with praise and with thanksgiving in our hearts. We do rejoice, O God, for the opportunity to be found together in thy house, to be worshipping together, to be hearing thy word being read, to be singing thy praise. And even now, as we come to hear thy word being preached, we do pray that it will be thy word. We pray even, O God, that as we spend these meetings today, considering completely the topic and the act of prayer and the great weapon that it is within our arsenal as Christians, O Father, we just pray that it will stir our hearts, that we will be encouraged, O God, to pray, that we will be reminded of how special prayer is, that we have this direct communication line with heaven, that we come into the throne room of heaven itself, be it made nigh and made possible by the new and living way which Christ has made for us. We thank thee for our Saviour, who even now intercedes for us at thy right hand. We thank thee that he's presenting our prayers faultless before thee. And Lord, we simply ask that thou wilt not only hear them, but in thy divine will that thou wilt answer them. O God, speak to every heart now. Bless that which has already taken place, both in the Sabbath school this morning and even in this service already. Lord, we thank thee for thy presence and for thy help. But O God, that thou wilt continue to tarry with us, that thou wilt continue, O God, to be amongst us, and that thou wilt speak to each and to every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The fervency of Elijah. What a victory it was upon Mount Carmel, which had been won. What an outcome we noticed last week to that great contest. Elijah, having gone up against King Ahab, those hundreds of the false prophets of Baal, the tens of the thousands of the Israelite people who had all gathered together to that mountaintop, those people that were gathered in rebellion against the Lord and gathered in unbelief indeed off the Lord. And yet after the false prophets had spent hours and after they had done all of their efforts and all of their chants and all of the cutting of themselves and every action that they did, and yet failure was on their side. Elijah, he stepped forward. He, first of all, as we noticed, he rebuilt the altar. And then he drew the people in nearer. He prepared the sacrifice. He saturated it in water. And then he simply prayed for fire. Let me just pause there a minute. He prayed for fire. He didn't pray for water. What was the greatest need in Israel at that time? 3.5 years of dearth. 3.5 years of dry. No rain, no dew. And yet he didn't pray for rain. He prayed for fire. You know, to the ordinary person looking at that, they'd say, surely Elijah should have cared for the people. He should have prayed, Lord, send the rain. But he didn't. He said, Lord, send the fire. You know, over this year, and even as we continue to do, prayer goes up for the state of our land in relation to this pandemic. Prayer goes up that guidance and wisdom would be given to our government and to our leaders. That every decision that is made, and indeed by our presbytery as well, every decision that is made is the right decision. We pray that this pandemic will be stayed. We pray that this vaccine, that it will be successful, that this pandemic will disappear from society, that our services, our lives, as it were, will go back to a sense of normality, that we can take off the tape, that we can have a sitting together, we can have fellowship together, we can sing together, we can have times together where we come together, we chat together, we shake hands. We want all of those things, but guess what the most important thing in this land is? It's the fire of God. Above all else, the greatest need in Northern Ireland today is the fire of God. We need it. Our land needs it. Yes, we continue to pray and we do need this pandemic completely erased from our society. Yes, we do need the times whenever the sickness and the bereavements and the tragedies that have been, that those come to an end in relation to this. But above all else, we need the fire of God to fall. We need God to rend the heavens. We need God to step down. We need that wind of revival blessing to be blowing through our churches. Yes, water was greatly needed in Elijah's day, but the fire was imperative. And Elijah, before he ever prayed for rain, he prayed for fire. May we ever seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, because then all of the other things will be added. May we firstly in our prayer times, whether it be in the public place or in the private place, may we pray for the moving of God. May we pray for the power of God. May we pray for the fire of God to descend and even stir our hearts and warm our hearts. That our hearts are set on fire, our lives are set on fire for the Lord. That we go about our business and we show forth the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is upon us in such a way daily that men and women know that there are two people, there are three people, there are individuals that have been with Jesus, that are filled with His Spirit. You know, that fire of the Holy Spirit came down. The immediate aftermath of the fire there in Elijah's time at Mount Carmel, there came a great change upon the people. There was a change in them, and there was a change in their declaration. The people who were silent now spoke. And they now publicly declared, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." The false prophets were taken and they were put to death at the brook Kishon. You see what the fire of God resulted in? The people were changed. And the power of the wicked one was taken. Because Elijah gave the instruction, "Take the false prophets and slay them." Ahab never did a thing. They're Ahab's people. They're Ahab's prophets. And yet Ahab never opened his mouth. He never once spoke back. He never once said, "No, leave them." He was the king of Israel, and yet he stood dumb. I'm sure they cried. Those men that cried, "O Baal, hear us," I'm sure they started to cry, "O Ahab, save us." And yet every one of those false prophets is taken down to the brook Kishon and they're slain. And the most wicked king in Ahab, the most wicked king Israel had ever seen, he couldn't do a thing. You see, nothing and no one can stop the fire and the power of God. That's the reality. Of course, that's not only the reality upon Mount Carmel, that was the reality at Calvary. The devil tried everything to get and to stop the Lord Jesus from ever getting to the cross. His efforts started when Christ was born, having all of the children under two killed. His efforts continued whenever the Lord started his ministry. And all of the temptation in the wilderness and every bit of temptation that followed thereafter. His efforts continued in trying to get the people to stone him and trying to get the people stirred up to kill the Lord Jesus. And even time after time after time, the scourging killed many a man, didn't kill our Savior. Christ went to the cross, he was nailed to it. And even the devil then had to stand back because Christ atoned for my sins upon the cross. And the cry of victory went up, "It is finished, I've done it all." That cry was not a losing cry, it was a victorious one. And the serpent's head was crushed. Here at Carmel, victory was for the Lord. But we see in the aftermath of that victory that Elijah doesn't simply revel in the victory. Yes, the false prophets are put to death, but Elijah then doesn't sit back and take his ease. He doesn't just stand over Ahab and gloat. He doesn't enjoy all of the revelry and all of the rejoicing with the people. Rather, he turns and he sets himself to prayer. He's fervent in prayer. When we consider his fervency in prayer, there are a number of lessons, a number of points for us to glean from his prayers at this time. There are six in total. We're going to spread them over the 2 weeks. Three today and then three when we come back to it in January. But I want you to see firstly, in the verse 41, I want you to see the prelude to his praying. The prelude to his praying. Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat, drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. It's a wonderful starting point to Elijah's time of prayer. Wonderful starting point, a great foundation is set, even as Elijah will make that way up to Mount Carmel, as he will get down upon his knees and begin to pray. He is starting from that foundation, he is starting from that bedrock of faith. You see, even as he goes to prayer, he is so sure of the answer. He is so sure of the answer, he already hears rain in his head. He says that clearly. He says, get thee up, eat and drink. Why? There is a sound of abundance of rain. Now remember, he's upon Mount Carmel. The sky's still blue. And if you stand on top of any mountain and you look, you're going to see for miles in every direction. There upon Mount Carmel, they can look that way, they can look that way, and that way. And everywhere they go, every single part of the sky is blue sky. There isn't a cloud to be seen. Not even in the distance, and we can so often look across and we can see as the dark clouds roll in, and we can watch and we can say, right, in about 10, 15, whatever minutes it is, there's going to be rain. Elijah's looking at a blue sky everywhere. And yet Elijah issues a statement, there is a sound of abundance of rain. You see, Elijah knew who he would be praying to and what God was capable of. But Elijah also knew God's promises. He knew the promises of God that are recorded in Scripture. He knew the promises of God that the Lord had given to him. Genesis 7, verse 4, the Lord promised, he says, I will cause it to rain. Leviticus 26, verse 4, I will give you rain in due season. This shows the power of the Lord at those various occasions. It is the Lord who causes the rain. And you add that to then the verse that is found in 1 Kings 17 in the verse 1. Elijah, that first time he went in before Ahab, he says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Then you look at 1 Kings 18, the verse 1 of that chapter. It says, it came to pass after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, and he said, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So if you add all of these verses together, you add the promises, you add the commands of the Lord, and you put all of that into Elijah, and you put all of that into Elijah's statement, that's why he made the statement, God had promised it, and he's praying on God's promises. Even the word that's used here at the end of 1 Kings 18, not verse 41, whenever it says there is a sound of abundance of rain, the word for rain is a Hebrew word geshem, or geshem. It doesn't mean a light drizzle. It means a very heavy shower. That word is used in Genesis to speak of the flood in Noah's day. How the rain would come upon the earth and how the rain floods would grow and grow until they covered all of the earth. So the force of the rain that was in Noah's day is the force of the rain that Elijah is expecting and hearing in his day. And what faith he had as he went to pray. What confidence, not one sign in the sky that there was any change in the horizon. And yet in his heart it was as if the rain was already falling. Now I wonder today, what way do you approach the place in the practice of prayer? I wonder, do you come believing? I wonder, whenever you get alone with the Lord at home and you begin to pray, do you start with a believing? Do you start in the foundation of faith? Whenever you pray for your loved ones, do you pray believing, or is it a case of just, I don't want to forget about them, so I'll just keep including them, but my heart's not in it, and I'm not believing, it's been too long. I'll say the words, but I don't believe the Lord is going to save them. I don't believe my situation is going to change. See, Elijah, when he went away to pray, when he went up to the top of Mount Carmel alone, He went believing, as if it was already there. Thomas Manton, great Puritan, wrote many times in prayer, he said, "Faith is the fountain of prayer, and prayer should be nothing else but faith exercised." Another commentator, he said, "Many a person's praying for rain, but his tub is the wrong side up." In other words, you aren't even expecting it. You're saying, "Lord, send the rain," but your tub's still the wrong way. It's not going to catch any water. But that's not Elijah. Elijah, before he ever begins to pray, his prelude to prayer is a foundation of faith. He goes forth to pray believing that the answers are already on the way, and yea, the answer's as good as here. I think of the words of the Lord in Mark 11:24. He says, "What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe." Believe. "Believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Isn't that the case for Elijah? He went believing that he would have rain. And yea, even before that day was out, he would see rain. The prelude to pray. But then secondly, the verse 42, I want you to see the place for the praying. The place for the praying. It tells us Ahab went up to eat and to drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. What you have is Ahab going in one direction and Elijah's going the other. By this stage already, the people have been separated. Yes, they were all there. They've all been told, and they've all had that cry going up, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And then they've started to move off. And Ahab's still standing there, the king of Israel, and yet, once again, Elijah's having to basically spoon-feed him. To tell him how to act, to tell him where to go. He's just standing there, and Elijah says, "Right, you go on. Go on back to your tent. Go and get something to eat and to drink." So Ahab goes that way and Elijah goes that way. There's two wonderful pictures in that. First of all, there is a picture of separation for prayer. Because Elijah, having dealt with the false prophets, he will not join with or have anyone near him as he goes to pray. There is to be no contact or presence with the outside world in Elijah's prayer life. There is to be no influence by anyone else. There is a clearing off that place. There is a separating of Elijah from everyone. As it were, he goes to the top of Mount Carmel and around him he builds his prayer closet. So he will not be looking at anyone else. He will not be interacting with anyone else. He is getting alone with the Lord. He goes to the top of that mountain. He puts his prayer closet around him. He gets into that prayer closet. He shuts the door. He gets alone with the Lord. You see, it's not an audience with the people of Israel that he now wanted. He's seeking an audience with the King of Heaven. The time to stand before the people has come to an end. The time of showing forth the greatness of God has come to an end. The time of dealing with the sin and the wickedness has come to an end. The time of dealing with Ahab and all of those false prophets has come to an end. Now it's time to pray. So he just turns his back on everyone. Child of God, when you come to pray and when I come to pray, there must be the isolation from the world. There must be the calming of spirit. There must be the quietening of the flesh. There must be all distractions set aside. There must be separation from everything and separation from everyone to be alone with God. We're commanded to be still and to know that He is God. That includes stilling the mind. as well as the hands, the feet, and all of the body. There must be the calming down of everything. That means when you get into your prayer closet, wherever that be, child of God, don't forget to shut the door. Some people get into the prayer closet and forget about the door. And the door then to the world is still open. That might mean then that text messages coming through or phone calls coming through. And you're hearing them and they're taking the mind, they're taking the heart away. You're distracted in prayer. What does that lead to? Ineffectual prayers and ineffectual praying. And quite often in those cases, you come away discouraged and you think, I didn't get anywhere. As if the prayers didn't get past the ceiling because my mind constantly was wandering. Of course, remember, you leave that prayer closet door open, the devil's going to be the first one through it. Because he doesn't want your prayers to get past the ceiling. There is a picture of separation. There's also here with Elijah and his actions, there's a wonderful picture of the Savior. You turn over to Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 14. Verses 22 and 23. Matthew 14 is a wonderful passage, of course, a very well-known passage. Whenever Christ feeds the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. It tells us, verse 21, that they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside the woman and children. In verse 22 of Matthew 14, it says, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, he was there alone. Just as it was in Elijah's day, so it was in the Lord's day. Great excitement at what had just taken place. Because for the Lord's time, 5,000 men plus the woman and children, that great miracle, every single person there being fed, well fed, filled with those loaves and fishes, 12 baskets of fragments are lifted. And all of that excitement, all of that bursting adrenaline and energy within his disciples, within the people, what does the Lord say? Right, disciples, get in the boat, yous are going that way, people, go home that way. The Lord went to pray. I think as well of our Savior in Gethsemane. He comes into that garden. He set so many disciples there at the gate. 8 of them are there. Takes Peter, James, and John a little bit further. He then sets them up there. You stay there. Then he goes on away from them all. Then he falls upon the ground and cries out the most agonizing prayer he's ever prayed. That stress and distress upon his body as his sin envelops him. He's praying, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But he's alone. Disciples there, but Christ is up there on his own. No distractions. No joining with anyone, no worldly influences or participation when it comes to the special practice. Of course, brethren and sisters, that doesn't mean you don't pray with your wife, you don't pray with your children. We've highlighted it many times over the past about the importance of the family altar, the importance of praying one with another, but there must be the getting alone with God yourself. There must be times even when you come away from your wife, when you come away from your husband, and it's just you and the Lord. Where you talk to him as friend to friend. You want to be fervent in the place of prayer. You want to be effectual. And follow your Savior. Be separated. Get alone with God. One final thing this morning, we've noticed the prelude to praying, we've noticed the place, But we finish this morning by looking at his posture. Verse 42. His posture for praying. Tells us Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. He cast himself down upon the earth. He put his face between his knees. The man who stood against the false prophets and the king of Israel and the people. The man who stood tall. The man who stood steadfast. The man who stood resolute, even holding forth the banner of Christ, now falls to the ground and puts his head between his knees. The man who had that courage, that bravery, that steadfastness before the people, that one who was able to look upon those men and those women of Israel with contempt and that righteous anger. But now he falls to the ground, he buries his head between his knees, and he's looking to the Lord in prayer. He's filled with reverence. He's filled with humility. Just because he had stood against all of the people, just because he had overseen a great victory, just because the people had obeyed him even in slaying those false prophets, does not make him equal with God. Just because the king of Israel is now obeying his commands and going and eating and drinking and clearing out of the way, just because he gathered all of the people together at Elijah's command, and just because all of these people are obeying his word and Elijah's standing before them, the great prophet of Israel, he still remembers his place. Oh yes, he had been elevated before men, but he knew his place before the king of heaven and of earth. That was down low, bowed, reverently praying to God. Isn't that the testimony of all of the great saints of God in Scripture? Abraham, the friend of God, the father of the faithful. And yet when he came to pray in Genesis 18 and 27... he said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which I am but dust and ashes." Daniel, third ruler in the Persian Empire, man of great authority, man of great honor, the great role that he had within that kingdom. Yet he testified in Daniel 10, the verse 8, he says, "My comeliness was turned in me into corruption." What about the angels? You think of the seraphim, heaven. The great power they have. Yet in Isaiah 6, in the verse 2, it tells us the seraphim, they cover their face. They cover their feet. They cry, "Holy, holy, holy," but they never take their wings away from their face. They never show their feet. And here was Elijah in humbleness and reverence bowed to the ground. Once again, even in his posture, it's showing that separation, it's showing that a removal of all distraction, because he buries his head in between his legs. He gets right down so that all that he has seen, if he opens his eyes, all that he's going to see is the ground, the dirt. That's it. He shuts out everything. He just bows himself before the Lord and he worships the God of heaven. You see, child of God, when we come to the Lord in prayer, we must remember who we are. We must remember who God is. Whilst he is our Father, never forget he's our Sovereign. Whilst we are his children, never forget we are his subjects. Even if we are elevated and we're great before men, it never comes to the case that any man or woman speaks highly of us. Individuals seek to set us upon pinnacles or up on pedestals. May we ever remember, like Elijah, that we're ever lowly before the Lord. When I'm poor and needy, then the Lord thinks upon me. Not when I'm standing as a great king or a great emperor or anything else, because remember, David, the great king that he was. And yet he said, the Lord's my shepherd. In other words, I need his care. I think of those words of that well-known verse that's been quoted so many times throughout this year in relation to this pandemic. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, what's number one? Humble themselves. Get down off their horses and get down off their pedestals and humble themselves before me. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Before Elijah ever prayed, he first humbled himself by getting down. And even Ahab, as he's going down to his tent to eat and to drink, if he was to look back at that great man that had stood and defied all of Israel and defied all of the false prophets, if he had have cast one look backwards, he would have seen the man down upon his knees with his head between his legs. The great one that mocked all of those false prophets, the great one that cried, go on, your God's obviously sleeping or walking. The great one that was so confident before the Lord that he said, saturate the altar. 12 times put the buckets of water down around it and the whole trench is filled with water. The great one that only had to pray once. And the fire came down, but now if Ahab just turns back and looks, he'll see a man upon his knees. And he's prayed. We want to be heard in prayer. There must be a foundation for it. You need to start praying, believing. We need to have our place. There needs to be even that posture. That doesn't, of course, whenever you consider the posture that Elijah took. Some people might say, if I was to go down on my knees because of my physical condition or age, I'll never get up again. You can bow the heart. You can bend the heart. You think of that man, the publican. There he was in the temple. He smote his breast. He went against everything in himself. His one cry was just this, God be merciful to me. But he humbled his heart first. Next time in January when we come back to this passage, we're going to look at the remainder of the fervency of Elijah. We're going to see the petitioning, his practice in prayer, and how he kept praying. We're also going to see at the end the power after prayer. Because if you read on, he runs. And he outruns a chariot. Because they that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. And mount up with wings as eagles, they're going to run and not be weary. Going to walk and not faint. I trust what we've looked at already will be a blessing to each one. And even may there be that encouragement and desire to have special times of prayer in your own. And also when we gather together, and even this evening as we have the opportunity to be here before this meeting tonight, and that we are here. We are praying. And then as we come tonight to consider the power of prayer. Let's just have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. And O God in heaven, we thank Thee for what we can glean even from Thy word. We thank Thee for the example that is there even for us in Elijah. And how he got alone with God. And how he humbled himself before the Lord. And oh Father, may that be the case in our lives, that we know what it is to be prayer warriors. And to have those effectual prayers even being offered. And that we bend our hearts before Thee. That we realize who we are and who Thou art. And O God, we pray that even throughout this day and from these messages as we consider prayer, that it will even be that means of redoubling our efforts in prayer. Lord, so often prayer is hard, so often prayer is that last thing that we even consider or we look to. But O Lord, such a blessing, such a powerful weapon Thou has given to us. Lord, bless each one now as they go from the house of the Lord. Take them to their homes in safety and watch over them. Bring them again this evening. Bring others, O God, in as well. Grant each one that desire to be in Thy house. Lord, that desire to come and to gather together to worship Thee. Lord, hear our prayers. In Jesus' name. Amen.